1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 12 to 17. Then Jonathan said to David, I swear by the Lord, the God of Israel, that I will surely sound out my father by this time the day after tomorrow. If he is favorably disposed towards you, will I not send you word and let you know? But if my father intends to harm you, may the Lord deal with Jonathan, be it ever so severely. If I do not let you know and send you away in peace, may the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. But show me unfailing kindness like the Lord's kindness as long as I live, so that I may not be killed. And do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off everyone of David's enemies from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, may the Lord call David's enemy to account. And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath of out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself. This is the word of the Lord. And you may sit.
Good morning, church. Good morning. This morning, I want to speak on the topic, beautiful friendship. One of the nice things about expository preaching, which is what I'm doing, I'm preaching on the book of 1 Samuel. I hope you have noticed by now. And I just follow the book. And the nice thing about that, you don't get to pick your topic, and then you find a scripture to support your topic. So I follow the scripture, and then I develop the topic. And I have to say that this normally, I would not have picked this passage or this topic to speak on. But what I've learned is when I prepare my sermon, as I follow the scripture, many topics that I preached on is actually I probably would have not picked it, but all these passages I preached on, I find that I'm the one who benefited the most. So as I said, I always preach the sermon to myself before I share with you. So as I prepare this sermon, I call it the beautiful friendship about David and Jonathan. I don't recall I have ever heard someone, a preacher, spoke on this topic. And I use this title, beautiful friendship, something that all of us urge and look for. So this week, there is a new social media platform that came out. I don't know if all of you have signed up yet. Oh, okay, I see some puzzle in some people's eyes. It's a new social media platform. And within 18 hours, 30 million people signed up. My goodness, that's 3/4 of Canada's population. We have 40 million people. 30 million people signed up within 18 hours. Another, just what we need, another social media platform. I'm about 4 or 5 on my cell phone, and that's already given me enough challenge just to keep up, especially the WeChat. The Mandarin congregation, they use WeChat. And I cannot catch up with all the messages, never mind the other ones. But with this new, I'm just thinking, with another new social media platform bring us more beautiful friendship? I don't know. I saw this cartoon. Cell phone bring you closer to person far from you. I totally agree. But it takes you away from the one sitting next to you. Now, my two children, they all move out now. But I still remember when they were with us and during the dinner time, everybody tend to look at their cell phone and sometimes even I text you. Did you see my text? I just sent you a text. So we communicate even inside the house with text messages, WhatsApp. No, it's free, right? And we are sometimes like that, isn't it? We are sometimes tend to, instead of calling someone up or meeting, we send people a message. And I found some of these quotes online. Friends fight for you, respect you, include you, encourage you, meet you, deserve you, stand by you. We all need true, faithful, beautiful friendship, don't we? Another saying, a true friend is the greatest of all blessings. From the Bible, Proverbs, a sweet friendship refreshes the soul. As I look back in the last few years, the pandemic, the restrictions, the shutdown of the church has really changed the, not just our church, all the churches. I miss a lot of the people. Some of the seniors passed into the hands of the Lord during the last 3.5 years, not necessarily because of COVID, just because of illness, aging. You know, we have a lot of seniors in our Chinese congregation. Quite a few of them actually is 99 years old, 98 years old, 100 years old. Some of them could not come back to church. As though the church has changed. Some of us are still online. And people there's a war, a divide between people. We all have to go back to this genuine friendship, like before the pandemic. We all need to meet up more often. So join the church picnic next Saturday. Little promotion here. See the other members of your family. When I look back, I miss a lot of my good friends. When you get old, you tend to look back more often because there are more to look back, I guess, when you're older. And I look back when I left my birthplace, Hong Kong, and I think of my elementary school friends. So when I left my elementary school friends, threw me a party. In those days, we were all poor, so we don't have a lot of money, but they tried their best. And then I think of my high school friends. I graduated in Vancouver in high school. I think of my high school friends. And they just had a reunion a couple of months ago after 40 years or 50 years, 40 years. Some of them already passed away, sad. But when I think of my university life, and there are not that many friends, good friends I can think of. So the time to have long-lasting friendship is when you are in high school, right? High school, where the high school is probably downstairs. So once you pass beyond high school, you are busy with your life. You're busy with your study in university. You're planning your career. And then I became a Christian when I was in second year in university. And then most of my friends end up in church. And the church will help us, provide us a space to build long-lasting friendship. And we have to treasure that. And today we look at this beautiful friendship between David and Jonathan. Before the survey started, I talked to someone. And I said, there are not too many people preach on this topic. I said, yeah, I would not normally would preach on this topic because I'm following the book of 1 Samuel. So this morning, we're going to look at this beautiful friendship between David and Jonathan. They met each other, or their friendship was built in a time of trouble, a time of challenge. a time of danger. And David, as you know, David was being pursued by Saul, king. And Saul wanted to kill him. I think I talked about this in my last few sermons. And David is running, all the time running for his life. And then he came to Jonathan. They have in chapter 18, which we did not look at, Jonathan, the crown prince, a son of King Saul, want to have a covenantal friendship with David. So in chapter 20, and David is really scared of his life, and he came to Jonathan as a friend, asking him, because they have a covenant, an agreement, a bonding. So he came and asked Jonathan to help him, to find out it's really, he knows that King Saul trying to kill him. But he wanted to just reconfirm one more time. So he asked Jonathan for mercy, for help. Verse 8. Therefore, deal kindly with your servant, David said, for you have brought your servant into a covenant of the Lord with you. But if there is iniquity in me, put me to death yourself. For why then should you bring me to your father? If I've done anything wrong, just kill me. But I don't think I did, so David saying. But your father wants to kill me. And the word kindness here is one of the key words in this passage. Some scriptures, some translation use the word mercy. Have mercy on me. But the word is kashet, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. So have mercy on me. Because David is the weaker party of this covenant, of this relationship. And Jonathan at that time is the stronger, the higher up one. Because he is the prince. He is a people in authority. So David came to him to ask for his mercy. And Jonathan did not know that his father is trying to kill David. So why would my father want to do a thing like that? So he did not believe. So here is a person coming through the covenant to ask for the other party for mercy. If it please my father to do you harm, may the Lord do so to Jonathan and more also. If I do not make it known to you and send your way, that you may go in safety, and may the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. So Jonathan, once again, we are sure, David, that no, if I know anything, I would come and tell you. So this is a requirement, the essence of a covenant, to protect each other, faithfulness, loyalty. If I know of anything, I always will tell you. I will let you know. I will not hide anything from you. So what is a covenant? The Old Testament is all about covenant between man and Jehovah, between God and his people, the Israelites. If you have read Genesis chapter 15, you may wonder what God is doing with Aram. If you have read Genesis chapter 15, God asked Aram to cut the animals, the goat, the ram, the pigeon, to cut all this animal into two halves, and then put it on one side, one half, the other half put it on the other side. And then Jehovah God planned to walk through these dead animals, cut up animals in the middle. And this is one of the rituals of setting up, creating a covenant. This is the covenant between God and Aram. But today, we're talking about a covenant of friendship between Jonathan and David. So they have a secret call later on. We did not read, but in chapter 20, so they set a secret call. So Jonathan said, tomorrow I go to this banquet. It's a new moon, so there's a banquet. And then David said, I'm not going to go. I'm going to hide in the field. So Jonathan said, I'm going to tell my father that you're going to with your family. Now, if King Saul said it's okay, then I know things are okay. But if my father is really mad, then I know you're in trouble. So let's have a sign. So tomorrow, the next day, after the banquet, I will meet you in the field. Well, I will shoot an arrow. If the arrow landed next to you, you hide behind a rock. If the arrow landed next to you, then you're okay. But if the arrow I shoot go beyond you, then you know that it's in trouble. So let's keep this just between us. Let nobody know. So they have this secret code between them. Covenant require faithfulness, loyalty, mercy, love. But Jonathan, but a covenant of friendship is mutual. It's a two-way traffic. Jonathan is a man of God, and he knows that God has chosen David to be the next king. And he knew that he himself, even though he is the crown prince, he would not be on the throne when that day came. So Jonathan also asking David to protect him. But why would he need David to protect him? Right? He is the prince. He's in power. But he knows. He knew that one day David will be the king. So he said, if I am still alive that day, will you not show me the loving kindness of the Lord that I may not die? Don't kill me when you're in power. You shall not cut off your loving kindness from my house forever, not even when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. So one day when you have the power, have mercy on me. So this love, kindness is mutual. In a friendship, it's not just a one way. It's a mutual respect. Both have to sacrifice. Both have to give. We protect, we give, and receive. Like this saying, if you smile, I smile. If you cry, I cry. If you jump off a bridge, no. I'm not going to jump off the bridge. So you jump off a bridge, I will go down there with 10 mattresses and a boat. Okay, that is the right thing to do. No, don't jump off the bridge. If someone do something stupid, you go and rescue him. It's a mutual commitment. Why did Jonathan, he is the prince, actually, he doesn't have to have a covenant friendship with David, because verse 17, Jonathan made David vow again, because he made this vow in chapter 18. So he made again in chapter 20 because of his love for him, because he loved him as he loved his own life. The word love here, this is of course written in Hebrew, is ahab. Ahab. So when they translate the Old Testament into Greek, so they translate the word aha into agape. Agape, we all know in New Testament, is about this unconditional love. God agape us. God love us. It's between a love between man and man, between man and himself, between God and man. It's between two people. It's an unconditional love. Agape. David agape. Jonathan agape. David. So he initiated this covenant. It's a covenant between husband and wife, covenant between people, man and man, friends, girl and girls, woman and woman, and man and God. This is a covenant. Covenant is a love, it's a true love between each other. Romans 12:10, love one another, with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Jonathan looked for a friend. David looked for a friendship support from Jonathan. Sometimes we come to church and find I could not find any friend. Right? We need to make ourselves other people's friend first. If you go looking for a friend, you are going to find there are not too many. If you go out to be a friend, you will find them everywhere. Two Saturdays ago, the Agape, which is the Cantonese Seniors Fellowship, they have a retreat at church. Over 50 people came. They're all seniors. They're all over 65, some are 80. They're really old. They've met each other. They have fellowship with each other for 40 years, some for 50 years. They quietly come to church every Sunday, fellowship on Saturday. They don't make much noise in the church. They will not lead worship teams on Sundays. Maybe they just older. Old people can lead worship team as well. They're just a bit tired. But when they have a retreat, they all came, 50. And the leader of the group told me, if all the members show up, they would have about 100 people. Wow. 100 people. And this relationship, this beautiful friendship, is built in Christ. Just like the relationship between Jonathan and David, their covenant is based on the promise of God. So if you read the scripture, today's verses, you will see this word in the Lord over and over again. There's a price to be paid in a true friendship. For Jonathan, actually, is a big price. It's more than David, but he is the crown prince. And this guy, David, Jonathan knows, because he's a man of God. He knows in his heart, probably God has inspired him, his spiritual discernment. He knows that this man, David, one day going to be the king, not him. Actually, that's pretty scary, isn't it? I mean, in history, we have read this. Well, when the new king is on throne, he tend to kill all the ancestors, the children of the previous king, isn't it? And he may get killed. And if David becomes the king, then he has no chance. So I don't know. For someone else, he will probably kill David to ensure that there's no competition. In a friendship, Jonathan risk his life to protect his friend. That's true friendship. But today, we don't have to risk our life to have friends at church. But we risk other things. We could get hurt in a genuine friendship. You can only get hurt in a genuine friendship because you pour your heart out. You could have to risk your time to make friends. To meet together, to have lunch, takes more time than just a text message. Long-lasting, genuine friendship requires time. You have to invest time. So both Jonathan and David have to invest to contribute to this friendship. So the next day, the banquet. And as Jonathan has prepared, he told the king that David could not come, right? Because he has a family gathering. And then Jonathan was watching and see how Saul behaved. And Saul was really mad. As long as the son of Jesse, that's David, lives on this earth, neither you, even you, Jonathan, nor your kingdom will be established. He may kill you. David may kill you sometime. Now send someone to bring him to me, for he must die. Saul was mad because I think he probably was planning to kill David in the banquet. But David did not show up. So now Jonathan knew what David's fear is, that the king really, his father really wanted to kill David. Not only that, Saul was so mad even at Jonathan, he probably suspected that this is a setup. So he actually tried to kill Jonathan. Saul hurled his spear at him to kill him, trying to kill him. Then Jonathan knew that his father intended to kill David. He is really sad. So verse 34, so Jonathan got up from the table in anger, and on that second day of the feast, he did not eat. Jonathan was sad because he was grieved at his father's shameful treatment of David. C.S. Lewis said, love is willing the ultimate good for the other person. It's so selflessness. David, Jonathan only thinking about David, not himself. This is true love. That's why God is a beautiful, beautiful friendship. Jonathan kept the covenant. We have friendships. We have to keep our covenant. In a church, we have to keep our agreement with our friends. We have to invest time. Maybe we pray together, eat together, go shopping together. We have to keep our covenant. So Jonathan kept the covenant. So the next day, he went to the field as what they have agreed on. So he brought along, Jonathan brought along a boy, a servant boy. So he shot the arrow beyond where David was hiding behind a rock. And then Jonathan wanted to make sure that David know the situation. So in verse 37, so he even shouted out. So Jonathan called out, but he worried that David may not get the hint. You send the arrow beyond you. He wanted to make sure that David knew when Jonathan shot the arrow, it's not next to him, it's beyond him. So that's a sign that my father really wanted to kill you. And then he sent the servant boy to pick up the arrow. And then he shouted, hurry up, go and pick up, don't stop. So the boy picked up the arrow and returned to his master, Jonathan. The boy knew nothing about all this, only Jonathan and David knew. Then Jonathan gave his weapon to the boy and said, go, carry them back to town. So he sent the boy away. Now here comes the most beautiful moment. Now they all know that they have to separate themselves from each other. But now David had to run for his life. When the boy was gone, David rose from the south side and fell on his face to the ground and bowed three times, and they kissed each other. It is the culture of those days. And wept together. Two men here, probably they're all soldiers, fighters, warriors. They wept together. Two men wept together. My goodness, they hugged each other. Brotherly love. But David wept the more. Oh, isn't this beautiful? This is beautiful friendship. They didn't say much, but just from their action, the description here, they love each other so much. And now they have to each one go their own way so that David's life can be spared from King Saul. I find this really beautiful. Do we have friendships like this in our life? In church? We have to invest time we have to invest ourselves, our life, to build up relationship like this, so that we can have genuine agape love, not just between romantic love between a boy and a girl, man and woman. This is brotherly love. This is love in God. Because both Jonathan and David are men of God. And then Jonathan said to David, go in peace. I did not put this on the slide. Verse 42. Jonathan said to David, go in peace. How can David go in peace? He's going to be running in great fear. Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord is witness. That friendship is built on God, the faithfulness of the Lord. The Lord is witness between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever. Then David left and Jonathan went back to the town. So they each have to go their way, even though they really want to be together. This is genuine covenantal friendship. I think of Psalms 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. What a beautiful scene. What a beautiful friendship. The most... Oh, it's here. So I did not miss it. Their friendship is built in the name of the Lord. And today even we can find this friendship in the Lord's house, in our spiritual family here. We can build and find lifelong friendship, covenantal friendship, agape friendship in church, in our community here. The most beautiful discovery truth friends make is that they can grow separately without growing apart. I find this interesting quotation. David and Jonathan each have to go their way, but their friendship did not diminish, actually become even stronger. But their friendship is built in the Lord. According to the scripture, they meet one more time in chapter 23. And David was still wanting for his life. They met one more time. And Jonathan encouraged him again. Don't worry. I'm willing to be under you when you became the king. Chapter 23, verse 17. And then they will never meet again when they are alive. The next time, when David heard about Jonathan, he was killed in the battlefield. So sad. Jonathan kept his covenant, promises in the covenant. So did David. So when David has power now, he became the king. Saul and Jonathan both killed in the battlefield. And then David inquired about the surviving members of Jonathan's family. And he heard that Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, still alive. So he asked the servants, where is it? He's still alive, but not living on their own land. So David said, is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? A covenant about kindness, mercy. So our church, be kind to each other. Don't be too hostile sometimes. Be kind to each other. Love each other. Can I show God's kindness? He said, yes, there is still a son of Jonathan. But he did not walk really well. slain in both feet, so sad. What will you do if now you are in power and there are some descendants of the previous king? Today, in some countries, may just get rid of that guy, put him away, exile. That King Saul will never be able to rebuild his kingdom. But no, he did not do that. So instead, David said to his servant, "For I will surely." No, David said to the son of Jonathan, when the servant brought the son of Jonathan to him. So David said to him, "For I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I would not kill you. If I were Jonathan, then I would be really scared. Right? This is the time now he's going to get rid of me so that I will never be able to rebuild my father or my grandfather's kingdom. But I will restore you to all the land that belongs to you, to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Eating at the king's table is an honor. Right? Not that today you really care if our prime minister invite you to a lunch. I don't think you really care. I have no time. Right? But in those days, if the king invite you to have lunch or eat at my table all the time, it is an honor. It's also an assurance that you are safe. David treated Jonathan's son as his own son. Wow. Sorry. I don't buy glasses. Okay. I better turn up my timer here. Maybe it's time for me to finish. David also kept his promise of the covenant. And Jonathan, actually, when he was alive, he knew that one day this will happens. This is beautiful friendship, even after the death of Jonathan. Today, we can find this covenantal friendship in the church community. Because Christ died for all of us, through Christ, we can be as one body, through the communion, through baptism, we are united, we are connected, and through Christ's blood and his broken body, we are in a new covenant. That's why it's called New Testament. We are in a new covenant. And you may think, I am not a David, I am not a Jonathan, but today, in our community, there are people looking for a Jonathan, looking for friendship, true friendship. There are people who are looking for a David to help him one day, to spiritually support them. Today, you are Jonathan. You are David because of the blood of Christ. Because of the communion, we take one bread, one cup. We are all connected. We are in this covenantal relationship, whether we like it or not. Only that we are not doing a good job most of the time to be a loyal member, parties in this covenant, to be faithful to each other, to love one another, to forgive one another, to protect, to love one another. A few years back, I visited this church. I think I shared this slide before. The church pastors visited this church in Winnipeg. We went there for a church revival conference. This is a 4,000 people church in a small town that only have 20,000 people. So one out of every four people is a church member of this church. So on Sunday morning, there's an open house. So we went and looked at all the programs, activities. There are lots of young people there. So I went and visited this teens worship. And then at the entrance of the gathering place, they put down this banner there, which I took a picture. Love church, find belonging, discover truth, experience Jesus. I thought it's a bit strange. Shouldn't it be upside down? Most church mission statements, even our own alliance, we always talk about experience Christ center first, right? Christ center. And then you spirit empower. We always put spiritual life first, right? No one would dare to say the love VCAC first. That's very selfish, right? And also we do God's kingdom, God's church is the every church is God's church, right? And I find it interesting. Put Jesus at the bottom of this banner. Now, but mind you, this is the mission statement for their teens ministry. Okay, keep in mind, it's a teens ministry. It took me a while, now I understand. Because for young people, for teens, actually, for seniors as well, it is utmost important we have to belong to a church community first. Without a church community, all these young people would not be able to find belonging. They would not be able to discover truth on themselves, not through their YouTubes or their Facebook. They won't be able to discover truth themselves. And then how can they experience Jesus? So now I understand, for the especially the young people, but I think it also applies to us older people, that you need to learn to love your church community first. You need to belong to a community first, because once you're outside, you won't be able to survive, or very hard to survive. Once you're outside, it's hard to find true, genuine, covenantal friendships. Here in the church community, you find belonging. It's especially important for young people, belonging. Then you talk about discovering truth. Sunday school, Bible studies. Only then that you can experience Jesus. You experience Jesus through the community. No one has seen God, but when we love one another, then you can experience God's love. Is it important that we are all Jonathan? We are all David. And today in our midst, we have members here have been here for a long time. They've been supporting us, serving us, standing at the entrance. I'm sure you miss Richie and Shuping. People were serving us dessert, snacks for the last many, many, many years, teaching Sunday school, loving us, protecting the children. We need to love one another. We need to have this covenantal friendship between each other. You need to belong to a community, a group. If you attend Connors, go support Connors. Saturday Night Fellowship, Clay, QF, Pathfinders, small groups, whatever. We need to build up this relationship. We are all in this covenant because of the blood of Christ. We need to love one and other. Take a risk, but be loyal and faithful. When I was young, I served the international students for 15 years at church. That's all I did for 15 years, serving international students. And I have served many, many international students at church, through church. And most of them are not here now. They left the church, went back to their countries. And I have been busy for the last many years, and slowly I forgot about connecting with them. And in those days, we don't have all these electronic media platform that you can connect people. You have to write letters. And then I got tired writing letters. And eventually, I lost contact with most of them. And recently in the summer, some of them returned to Vancouver to visit me and took all the old photos on their cell phone, digitalized, and showed me. And then I suddenly miss all of them. I've served hundreds of them. I spent years working with them, and I miss many of them, and I see all those old photos. So there's one who was really close to me, one student, and then I remember her. So I, after through some other students, I found her contact online. So I said, let's set up a Zoom meeting. Now I love Zoom, right? Otherwise I would not have seen you. You are in Hong Kong. So I set up a Zoom meeting on certain days. It's a Saturday evening, which is, I think it's the morning. So I was really excited that day. So I grabbed Cynthia Seymour with me. So I waited for this moment, and then she showed up on the Zoom. I haven't seen her for 40 years. And she said, I'm retired now. Wow. Early retirement. I'm retired now. I'm living with my son who just got married. I'm retired now. So, wow, early retirement. And then I said, no, Norman, when I first met you, I was 18 years old. Wow. 18 years old. I was 18 years old. And I baptized in this church, and then I went back. And then she sent me and said that that was a good memory for me too. Never will forget. So our friendship in Christ, when it's in Christ, even though we may separate, but our friendship will not diminish. So let's build David Jonathan kind of friendship in our church community. Loyal, mercy, so kindness, unselfishness, compassion. Don't easily just leave the church and look for another family. Try to make it work. Two are better than one. You know, I have put it down here. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. As David and Jonathan both said, let's show kindness and mercy to each other. Let's pray. Father, we pray that help all of us here. You put us here, not somewhere else. You put us here, and you want us to have covenantal, beautiful friendship here with as many people as we can, so that we can support each other, love each other, and let us put our heart in this place. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.